Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues, a very interesting lineup of subjects and issues that we're covering in the broadcast today. We're talking about presidential powers. We'll get back to that in a moment. Can a judge stop the Oval Office, the President of the United States, from carrying out his constitutional responsibilities and duties as required in the Constitution? The war in the Ukraine. Does Zelensky really want the war to stop? Is Zelensky part of the problem or the major promulgating facet in preventing the peace talks between Russia and Ukraine? The Israeli-Hamas war, is that something that's going to be protracted? Is that something that will end soon? What does the Bible say about these things? Does the Bible talk about Russia in end times? Does the Bible talk about the global control under the Antichrist as he steps on the scenes that is being set up today and promulgated in the parts and the portions of what we're putting in place through artificial intelligence, et cetera, et cetera? What about the Kennedy files that's just been released? Who killed President John Fitzgerald Kennedy? Was it the CIA? And again, we're talking with Jim. He's on the line. Jim, let me read you again a portion of that statement. Looking at the article, a report confirms that U.S. Army Captain and CIA informant John Garrett Underhill, the day after the assassination, Gary Underhill left Washington in a hurry. Late in the evening, he showed up at his home, the home of a friend in New Jersey, where he was very agitated. A small clique within the CIA was responsible for the assassination. He confided, and he was afraid for his life and probably would have to leave the country. Less than 6 months later, Underhill was found shot to death in his Washington apartment. The coroner, however, ruled it was suicide. The Daily Mail reported Larry J. Sabato, director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics and the author of The Kennedy Half Century, said he had a team that had started going through the documents, but it may take some time before the full significance is clear. We have a lot of work before us, he said. The people just have to accept the time that it's going to take, end quote. Jim, the question is, you know, this has been a conspiracy theory for some time. We've had several different ones that analyzed the gunshot, whether it's one shot or two, whether it's from the book depository or if it was from an opposite direction, and the things that have been bounded about. Give me your take. You're pretty knowledgeable in some of these areas in particular. Give me your take. Is it possible that after 60 years we'll finally find the truth, or do you think the truth is still buried and will never be disclosed to we the people in America? This sheet, this document, this memorandum to the file is dated July 19, 1967, and it's top of the list, says top secret. This individual that supposedly killed himself, he was right-handed, left-handed, but somehow his hand wrapped around his head, and I've been told that supposedly he shot himself in the head twice, and they said it was suicide. What are your thoughts? Give me your take on it.
Well, from listening to you before the break there, you also mentioned that the gentleman was left-handed and shot himself in the right side.
Yeah.
It's a pretty remarkable feat of marksmanship. I've read and watched documentaries, particularly prior to this release of information, and a lot of them always concentrated on, I think, what's called the Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
And, you know, the grainy images of the grassy knoll. And I do believe that there is a lot of documentation that needs to be gone through. I don't know how much of that is still currently redacted in regards. There's a lot of information that needs to be collated and then sat down and looked at with a discerning view. And then, you know, applying common sense and logic to come to a better conclusion than the pile of conspiracy theories that are currently out there on the JFK assassination.
Well, based on my brief, limited knowledge in relationship to, and I say that when you look at the broadness and the depth of what happens with our thugs with badges, as I call them, FBI and the CIA. When we look at what recently happened under the Biden administration's leadership through the DOJ and Merrick Garland, the chief law enforcement officer for the nation, and the things that Biden was able to accomplish as the president through the DOJ and the FBI, with the FBI, with the 32-page document written up by Merrick Garland and the DOJ, the FBI would go after moms and dads if they simply stood before school board and challenged them. They were then considered to be domestic terrorists, and how the CIA, the FBI, jointly, and other thugs with badges, including the DHS, lied to Americans, said they couldn't stop the flow of about 20, 22 million illegal invaders coming into America. And when we see just in the recent years how the thugs with badges are basically in control with no restraints, that's why I see it. When you look at what happened to the Mueller report promulgated out of Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC about the so-called Russiagate, where Trump was supposed to be a puppet of Vladimir Putin, all of that was proven to be a lie. Where we found 51 former intelligence agents, FBI and CIA agents, 51 signed a letter saying that the Hunter Biden's laptop was Russia disinformation, only to find all of that that I just said, and much, much more, to be an absolute lie perpetrated on the people of the United States of America. Anyone would be hard put to tell me or to try to defend the fact that they think that the CIA didn't have anything to do with it. Now I'm going to read another portion of this top secret document as it is stamped at the top. J. Garrett Underhill had been an intelligence agent during World War II and was recognized and a recognized authority on limited warfare and small arms. A researcher and writer on military affairs, he was on the first name basis with many of the top brass in the Pentagon. He was also the intimate terms with a high number of high-ranking CIA officials. He was one of the agency's UNPEOPLE, that's UN-PEOPLE, UNPEOPLE, in other words, he doesn't exist, who performed special assignments for the CIA. And at one time, he'd been a friend of Samuel Cummings of the Intermego, the arms broker and numbers among its customers for the CIA. And he goes on to talk about how he would buy weapons for the CIA, import the weapons for the CIA so they were not marked, were not recognized, did not go through the system in America, etc. He was one of those ghost people, UNPEOPLE, as the CIA called him. And it's believed that he's the one that was involved in putting it together. Now, this does not name this man, Underhill, as being the trigger man. But it is the fact that I'm looking at that he identifies and confirms that it was at the hands of the CIA. the CIA did not want Kennedy to remain in office, and it dealt with the Bay of Pigs and the outflow of that and what was taking place with Cuba. They did not like his posture, his position, and what he wanted to do. What was happening then, what was happening there, only God knows. What say you, very quickly, and I'll let you go.
That whole period of time, you just mentioned the Bay of Pigs, we are also starting to be involved in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. Eisenhower had left office prior to that, and he gave a speech in regards, a very strong speech in regards to the military-industrial complex and where it would go if it wasn't reined in. So, yeah, there was a lot of people that had a lot of views that were in a period of history that was very shortly following a major world war, and they had all the ingredients there. You had patriotism, doing what you thought was right for your country. You had money involved. You had climatic events occurring because we were having civil rights issues during that period as well. Technology was advancing. We were in a space race against the USSR. So, yeah, I do believe that there might have been individuals that clearly thought that they saw the world and it would have been better without JFK in place. So I would agree with your statement there, but I don't know that all of them would have been involved. In other words, I think it would have been a smaller segment that was motivated by pure personal gains.
Absolutely. That played a large role in it. One other question for our exit question that you might be able to give some shed some light on. The judge that is... Bosberg, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, Bosberg, James Bosberg. Did you know that he was also involved in the FISA court as the chief of the FISA court at the time the warrants were issued and allowed to have some things done, the crossfire, hurricane crossfire, et cetera, that he's the one that authorized some of those FISA warrants in the FISA court without the proper documentation. I'm reading a headline. Judge blocking Trump's deportation played a key role in the Trump-Russiagate FISA saga. The federal judge currently throwing a wrench in Trump's plans to deport violent Venezuelan gang members also played a key role in the fallout from the Trump-Russia saga as chief of the FISA court. And it's a massive eight-page article. Are you familiar with that? Have you heard that?
I have not read that yet, but if you look at everything this judge has done, he seems to me to have a prideful conduct, specifically whenever I've read his declarations that this court will and you will, the whole demand thing. So this is the kind of individual I was just talking about. Their pride has overcome their senses, and they feel that they know better than the rest of the room does, and they're the worst kind of individuals because they'll justify anything simple statement alone, I'm doing this for your own good. And they are the worst.
And guess what, Jim? And I'll make this statement wrap up. Guess what? Justice Roberts is now defending that judge, saying that he should not be impeached. Is the very judge, the chief judge, he was the judge that appointed this thug judge to the FISA court. I'm reading the headline on that. It was actually Judge Roberts who appointed Bosberg to a 7-year term on the FISA court starting May 2014. Bosberg's federal court biography adds, appointed by Chief Justice John Roberts. He was the court's presiding judge from January 2020 to January 2021, May 2021. But it was during those times that the FISA warrants were found to be defective. DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz in 2019 found huge flaws with the FBI's Russia collusion investigation, finding at least 17 significant errors and omissions related to the FISA warrants against President Trump's campaign associate Carter Page. He also criticized the central and essential role of the British ex-spy Christopher Steele's debunked dossier and the FBI's politicized FISA surveillance. It was the FISA surveillance warrants that was issued under the auspices and at the authorization of this Judge Bosberg that's now still got the spur in his saddle, that Burr in his saddle that's wanting to get rid of Donald Trump. That's the bottom line. But, Jim, it deserves our prayer. It deserves our understanding and recognition of what's happening so that we can continue to pray and ask God to protect America. Because we've got thugs out there going back as far and further than just the 1960s when the CIA, I believe, was responsible for the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And I believe there's still, we still have the thugs with the badges. And I believe President Donald J. Trump knows it. He's familiar with it. And he realizes that he's fighting the demons, if you please, that's now in control of America. And he's trying to put American control back in the hands of we the people. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
For your insight and your wisdom. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Presidential powers. Does Donald Trump, President Trump, have the authority to do what he's doing? Or does the judge, a judge, appointed judge, black-robed judge, does that judge have more power and authority under the Constitution than the President of the United States when it comes to international affairs and the removal of the terrorists out of our nation? What say you? How do you feel about that? What is the position that you hold on Hamas and Israel? Is Israel at fault, or is it Hamas? Or is it a problem with the Islamic jihadist that's trying to destroy the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel? I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question. A comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I believe the CIA had something to do with John F. Kennedy, his brother, and Marilyn Monroe. I really do. But the thing that's really coming to my mind a lot today is the fact that our hearts right now, and I'm paraphrasing the scripture, the further our hearts, we remove ourselves from God's word, the colder our hearts become. And I pray that anybody that can hear this, fix your heart. It is ruining the power we have within us. And that's from all nations, the whole world. Israel is God's apple. We have to pray for them. We have to pray for the world. But we also have to pray for our heart that it don't get so cold, because we're dealing with some cold people.
Absolutely. And Terry, if I can interject a thought that has been on my mind and my heart and my verbal stance for many, 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 many years now. I believe the condition that our nation is in, I believe the condition, the unbiblical, unholy, unethical, immoral condition that our nation's in, I believe that our condition of succumbing to the woke culture is in direct proportion to pastors with no spines that's unwilling to take a stand and call truth, truth, and a lie, and stand as salt and light that God gives us the responsibility to do. I think it's time to stop being silent from the Christian standpoint. I'm not talking about some uprising. I'm not talking about some war or battle in the streets. I'm talking about, just as you're saying, that our hearts need to be right before God. We need to recognize our responsibility as heavenly citizens and as citizens of this nation, and be the salt and light that God has charged us with the responsibility of being. I'm a little tired. I'm a little weary. I'm uptight. I'm ticked off, if you want to put it that way, to see what's happening with the mindset that churches should be silent. Christians should be silent. We should somehow, some way, put our liberties, freedom of speech, and religious liberties in a closet and not stand for truth. We need to stand for truth. Mm-hmm. And it's just as you're saying. Listen, I believe that judgment starts at the house of God. I believe it's time that we start calling it like it is and saying that Christians need to speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, and stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ while there's yet opportunity in our world to do so. So it demands our attention, demands our prayer. We need to constantly be before God saying, God, protect Trump, give him wisdom, give him insight, give him strength to keep on standing to do what you have called him to do. And I believe it's a calling. He doesn't call call it that. It's a calling in his life to defend America, and I'm thankful for that. So, Terry, keep praying. That's all we can do from the standpoint of the Christian perspective. We need to keep praying. We need to stop being silent. We need to stand for truth and stand to keep doing the battle. We sang that song, On With Christian Soldiers, marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, not even realizing for the most part that we are in a hand-to-hand combat, a battle with Satan and all the demons of hell. And that's what we're witnessing today. But it deserves our prayer, Terry. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your insights on that. You're precisely correct on that issue. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The presidential powers, does Donald Trump have the power, the authority to do what he is doing, or should he just simply buckle to the demands of the judge? What should he do? How should he respond? I'm looking at a headline, Defund the Courts. U.S. Senator urges Congress to protect the will of the voters against rogue judges. This article reads in part, rogue federal judges have created what some analysts already have called constitutional crisis by claiming that President Donald Trump isn't allowed to run the executive branch over which the Constitution gives him full authority. The way he sees would help America the most without their approval. That's talking about their, the courts. They've blocked his plans to cut fraud, waste, and corruption, to remove illegal alien criminals from the U.S., to secure the borders, and to operate foreign policy as he deems it best. The result is that many are discussing impeaching some of the leftists in black robes. That, however, would require at least some support from the Democrats because the GOP doesn't have two-thirds majority in the Senate, which would have to remove the judges after a House conviction. U.S. Senator Chip Roy of Texas, Republican, is suggesting, I like this, suggesting another way, which can be accomplished with simple majority vote in the House and the Senate, where the GOP does have control. Take away the judges' funding. I think that's a novel idea. Further, he says, the House can pass a resolution stating there is and was an invasion, and we can defund the radical courts. Rather than wasting time on performative impeachment votes, House Republicans can take immediate action by blocking the funding for these weaponized courts, though the operations process through the operations process. With the Republicans controlling the purse strings, judges can be rendered powerless until unable to pay their bloated staff or enforce their unconstitutional rulings, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that President Donald J. Trump has the power and the authority. I believe that eventually it'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. I believe that the U.S. Supreme Court, unless John Roberts weighs in because of his animus toward, I believe he hates Donald Trump. I believe that he is adamantly opposed to Donald Trump's leadership role. I believe that he's siding with the left so far. But I believe that there needs to be a move in between the House and the Senate, between the conservatives, to take a stand and say no to what these judges are doing. If they can't do anything else, cut off the power, which is through the purse that the judges have. Another headline: Trump pushes to impeach troublemaker judge as major conflict of interest is discovered, and it goes on to talk about this Bosberg. And Bosberg, Judge Bosberg, has a daughter that operates a 501c3, quote, nonprofit organization that gets hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government. What is the nonprofit's role? What is the 501c3 that the judge's daughter is in? What does it do? It helps to fund and to guide and direct illegal invaders through the process coming into America and getting America's handout, food, clothing, shelter, medical care, education, et cetera, et cetera. So she sees the goose that laid the golden egg being slain and the money being cut off as a result of what Trump is doing. So the judge is going to bat to protect the 501c3 that's antithetical to what the Constitution says that the president has the authority to do. I'm looking at another headline. Judicial coup. Radical leftist judges wage all-out war against President Trump and the nation. Over 129 legal challenges already filed in the first 2 months, more than all presidents combined of the United States of America. Did you hear what that article says? There are more suits filed against Trump to stop what he's doing than against all presidents combined for the history of America. Now, if you don't find that astounding, if you don't find that simply overwhelming, I don't know what would bother you any more or any less. I find it antithetical to what is needful and necessary. In fact, it goes back to a biblical truth. Deuteronomy 16:19, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That is very, very clear. It's a biblical concept. We're witnessing these judges that not making judgment decisions based on right and wrong. You see, God created civil government as slave servants to God. And these civil governments as slave servants to God ought to also recognize, obey, and submit to our Constitution. According to Romans chapter 13, first 7 verses in particular, God created government to prosecute evil and to protect good. We found it's been reversed in the recent years, and we find there's the prosecution of evil and the protection of the evil and the prosecution of the good. It is very, very clear of what should be done and how it should be carried out. Psalms 26:10, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Isaiah 33:15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, he that shaketh his hands from holding out of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing shutteth his eyes from seeing. And that's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps more than at any other time with the judicial process in America. But listen, the judicial section of our government today, the three branches, the judiciary, the judicial, and the executive branch. The judicial cannot take authority or power over and undermine or overshadow the executive branch. I'm looking at the headline, no judge rules the executive. The Constitution crushes the myth of judicial supremacy. This article, in part, let's make one thing absolutely clear. No single federal judge, nor even a panel of them, has the constitutional authority to override, to countermand, or nullify laws and orders issued by the President of the United States of America, directed at his officers within the executive branch. That assertion is not up for debate. It is a matter of constitutional design, historical precedents, and the plain language of the founding charter. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to see what God is doing. Look at all that is happening on a global basis of what is taking place in the realm of presidential powers, the war in the Ukraine, Israel and Hamas and the Kennedy files, etc. We need to look at everything through the prism of the Word of God. And as we do that, we recognize His sovereign power. We need to look up, lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay.